First Chronicles chapter 1. First Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, chapter 2, verse 1. These are the sons of Israel, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and I could go on and on until we come to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Now, in chapter 4, look at verse 8. And Hakaz begat Anab, and Zobeba, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. Now, what if you had to go on this way the whole evening? But in the midst of it all, verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow. And God granted him that which he requested. And Chelub, the brother of Shua, begat Mahur, who was the father of, and so on. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee that though in earth there are only certain places that gold and silver can be found, we thank you that this is unlike thy word. We thank you that we may open it at any place and find gold and silver and precious spoil. We thank you for the brief portions that we have read this evening. Let us know the preciousness of them, and we desire to make them our own. So, our Father, by thy Spirit illumine, and by thy goodness, thy faithfulness and righteousness forgive and cleanse, we confess our sins and prepare the heart of those who listen, and make this portion a blessing to them, we pray. Look down from heaven and pour out good upon us, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Lord willing, these evenings I will be talking to you about trivia treasures. Who would ever think of calling a part of the Word of God trivia? I would in no way have you to think that I was speaking of it as trivial, but trivia in contrast to long portions concerning the life of David and King Saul and King Solomon. They are long portions. But then you have trivia, and a trivia is a brief comment like this one, in no way speaking disrespectfully of the word, but something of a lighter weight than other portions of the Bible. And our Savior explained that to us. He spoke about tithing, mint and anise and cumin, and you have left undone the weightier matters of the law. And so our Savior himself speaks of the Word of God as having lighter weight and heavier weight, the heavier matters of the law. Well, in little portions like this, they are trivia in comparison to the weightier matters of the law, but then I hasten to add this, trivia treasures, because incidental things that happen to be dropped as the author passes along as he gathers together these thoughts concerning the descendants of Adam. Notice, Adam, Seth, Enosh, it goes on, starting back from creation of man, and it brings us up to his time. Here are things that he tells us, and in the midst of all of these names, there may be the tendency to skip over them, because it is a matter of discipline to even read them. If you tried to, you look at it, and you had to pronounce every name correctly before you went on to the next name, I wonder how eagerly you would go to your Bible to start reading these chapters. You say, well, I would have to look up the pronunciation of these names. Of course you would. And perhaps that's what God wants. But instead, we look at them and we say, there's nothing here. And so we quickly turn the page until we get over to something that is no longer trivia, but is narrative, long and sustained. And then we say, now, this is what I'm interested in. But when you do so, it is like passing over treasures among the trivia. And that's what I'm going to do. Little things that may have escaped your notice, or you may have passed over entirely and could not notice them. And so, Lord willing, these evenings, we are going to consider trivia treasures. And this is one of them. Now, let me ask you a question. If I ask you, who is the man of sorrow? I think immediately they would come to your mind. That could be only one. It says in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But there was another man of sorrows, and his name is Jabez. His name means sorrow, grief. That's his name. You do not realize it, but that is the meaning of his name, and his mother gave him that name. In the Bible, there are some children who are named by fathers, and some are named by mothers. And at times you have conflict, because the mother wants to give one name, and the father wants to give another name. That happened to the last born child of Jacob. When Rachel was in hard labor, giving birth to her son just before she died, she said, I'm going to call him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. But Jacob interposed and said, his name shall be called Benjamin, son of the right hand. And Jacob's naming of his son prevailed. But there would be a similarity. If the name had remained with him, his name would have been son of sorrow. But Jacob says, I shall not have that associated with my son his whole life long. I shall call his name Benjamin, son of the right hand. Now, this woman is giving birth to a child, and she thinks of the circumstances surrounding his birth, and she says, I'm going to name him Jabez, which is a similar, a synonymous word with Benoni, sorrow, son of my sorrow. And she says, I'm going to call his name sorrow. And this name remains with him. Think. At the very first, the father said, no, his name is going to be changed. I shall not have this concept to follow him his whole life long. And so at the very beginning, instead of sorrow following him his whole life long, he let victory, strength, exaltation, he let those thoughts follow the name of his son, Benjamin. But no father is mentioned in the case of Jabez, and his mother gave him the name, and the name remained. Here's what you will find in the Bible, that a husband has authority over his wife and over his children. And if in the presence of a husband, a wife makes a vow, and that husband hears the vow, he may disallow that vow, and God will not hold her responsible. If a child makes a vow, and the father hears that vow and disallows that vow, then God will disallow that vow. But if a husband hears a vow and does not disallow that vow, then the vow is binding upon the individual. So evidently the husband was not around, or the husband concurred with his wife and said, yes, the name that should go along with this child, the circumstances are such that indeed he should be called Jabez, which means sorrowful. And the name remained with him his whole life long. You think about people, and some of them you look at, and you ask, what is your name? And they tell you. And then you say, that name certainly doesn't suit you. And others, they give you their name, and you say that's exactly what your name should be. Well, what God does in His Word is to give a man a name, and, sad to say, many times what a mother sees at the very beginning of the life of that child, it is prophetical in the name that she gives to that child, and that will follow him his whole life long. So, for that reason, we have one born to Sarah, and we have one born to Jabez's mother. And I think of this because it's so interesting. Suppose these two boys were living at the same time, and you would have Isaac and Jabez. They mean nothing to us as we hear Isaac and Jabez, but here you have laughter and sorrow playing together. That's the way it would be. And then, if Benjamin's name had remained Benoni, you would have son of sorrow playing with sorrow. And this is the way it is. I could tell you about the daughters of Zelophehad and the names that were given to them, and you wonder about them. I shan't go into that now, but you would ask, why would a father ever give her that name? And yet, he did. And here is one whom his mother named Jabez, sorrow. And this is going to follow him his whole life long, and it does. And Jabez has a premonition that his mother was right in giving him that name, realizing that sorrow shall follow him his whole life long, and because of that, Jabez does something about it. That's the marvel. That there are certain things that are going to occur in your life unless you do something about them. And I do not like those signs, and yet I cannot contradict them. Prayer changes things. Who believes that? Why, God does. It says in James 5 that Elijah was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed that it rain not, and it did not rain. And again he prayed, and it did rain. You say, but God was behind it all. I would agree with that. But God in His Word says, Elijah prayed, and God attributes no rain and abundance of rain to the prayer of Elijah. Now, in like manner, here are those whose lives are surrounded by circumstances of sorrow, and it seems as if a cloud of gloom will follow them throughout their life, and some are fatalists, and some succumb to this cloud of gloom, and their whole life long is one of darkness and rain and cold and despair. And they say, well, that is the way it is. They simply succumb to it, saying nothing can make a difference. But something can make a difference. Prayer can. I look at you. I know how you were born. You were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and so was I. But the Bible says, even though we are born that way, and unless we repent, we shall perish. The Bible at the same time says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you go through life under the condemnation of the curse, and never say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And what you are, the conditions of your birth and your destiny will never be changed. But I promise you this, because God does. He says, call upon my name and see what happens. He says, just call upon my name. And when you do, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so here is Jabez, and he thinks of the circumstances of his birth and how his life is entering into a certain pathway of sorrow, and he says, I'm going to do something about it. And he does. Now, that is why, in the midst of all of these names, one is outstanding. Because these others may have let nature take its course, would not rise up and fight against what seemed to be inevitable. But Jabez says, this is not going to be. And so Jabez, believing what his mother said, knowing the outcome of life, unless there is an intervention by God, he said, I'm going to do something about it. And he had only one recourse, and that was prayer. Now, which one of you here has not the same access to God in prayer? Every sinner does. because every sinner is called to call upon the name of the Lord. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And that is him that heareth say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God says, do something about it. Take the water of life freely. Come. And Jabez, believing that God would listen to his prayer, prays to God. And so, if Jabez already was a child of God, it makes no difference. Or if he were not a child of God. If you are not a child of God, you have the right to call upon God for salvation. Call upon him, and thou shalt be saved. And if you are saved, it is not only a right of yours, but it is a demand of the Savior. And he expects you to constantly be in prayer with God. And he expects you to realize what can be secured by prayer. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so here is what God is telling us about the Spirit within us and the prayer that we can utter to God. And he tells us to call upon him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver us, and we shall glorify God. And that is what he wants us to do. But we never believe it. You say, yes, I know those scriptures. Yes, it's so precious. Then, yes, Elijah prayed that it might rain, and it did, and that it might not rain, and it did not rain. Yes, I remember those things. Well, God is telling you to pray. The Savior said, whatsoever you pray believing, he said, you shall receive. But we do not believe that. We read it, and we would say, yes, as a teaching of the Word of God, if you pray and you believe, you shall receive. That's what the Bible teaches. And God says, well, I'm waiting for you to pray. But we say, well, we believe it. But he says, why are you not praying? It is time for us to pray to God personally and ask others to pray for us as Paul did. He said, I want you with all to pray for me. He said, I want you to pray that utterance may be given unto me. Paul believed that. He is in prison. He said, you pray that I may get out of prison. He is one who prayed to God. He is one who, in the midst of a storm, had been crying unto God, and God sent an angel from heaven, and he said, Paul, he said, I'm giving you every man that is on this ship. Your prayer has been answered. That's the marvel. If Paul had not prayed, then the ship would have wrecked, and God knows how many would have been lost. But Paul prayed, and the scripture says, God has given you every soul that is on this ship. And I read those things, and I'm afraid as I read them. Why? Because, Lord, this is a power that is unthinkable. I can affect the weather conditions. I can affect the outcome of a ship in a storm at sea. I can affect, yes, you can, because this is what God is telling us. He sets these examples before us, and here is another one, a trivial treasure, and all of these men, and we're just told nothing about them except who their father was. And in the case of Jabez, I have a reward. Who is Jabez's father? I don't know. Neither do you. Of what tribe was he? You say, I don't know. I'm not certain, but I think he is of the tribe of Judah, but he doesn't say that. But he is in the midst of all of these descendants of Judah and of the others. It simply mentions who their father was, who their brother was, their mother. But then, right in the midst, it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Which brings me to this. Why is it that you may have so many children, so many sons, so many daughters, and yet one of those children will be more honorable than all the rest? Can you tell me? I remember a father I was speaking to not long ago. He had many children. And I said to him, of your children, which one is the closest to God? He said, this son always has been. I said, why? I don't know, he said, but this one has always been more zealous in his service for Christ and in his love for Christ. The own father of the child, though he loved the other children, said, this one is more honorable. And here is Jabez, and God sent his note to this. Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. Now, that I am not able to tell you how to bring about except by prayer. There may be inherent honorableness in you, and there may be a stubbornness, a perverseness, a tendency to fail in you, but all of those things can be overcome. But there are some who are going to be more honorable than their brethren, and you do not know why. If I ask you, among Jacob's 12 sons, who was the most honorable of his brethren? He said, but that's easy, Joseph. Why? Why were the others so wicked, and why was Joseph? You say, I do not know. And why, among all the children of Elkanah and Hannah, why was it that Samuel was more honorable than all his family? You say, I don't know. Neither do I, but he was. But in this case, whereas it says Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, I'm wondering if it was because of what he was inherently that made him honorable, and he said, I'm going to do something to get out of this dread situation I find myself in, or if God, because of what he did, said he was more honorable than his brethren. Now, listen to this. The word Jabez occurs only twice in the entire scripture, and this is the other verse. It says, and the scribes that dwelt at Jabez, the families of the scribes that dwelt at Jabez, and it speaks about the house of Rechab. Here's another trivia. I'll tell you about that sometime. But here is a town bearing the same name of this man, and it may be that he was one that was prominent in this town. You go right down the road and you find Fuquay Springs and you find Wilbon. Here were men that were prominent and the towns were named after them, the same way in the scripture. And here is a town named Jabez, and the name Jabez only occurs one other time in the Bible, the first one in chapter 2 and the second one in chapter 4. And so it may be that this is an answer to his prayer because he said, I want you to enlarge my coast. And here is one who becomes so prominent that a town, a locality is named after him. We do not know. But it says he was more noble, more honorable than his brethren. There was more weight to him. And it's always that way. You know Christians, and you look at them, have a room full of Christians, and in that room, some will be more honorable than the others, and yet every one of them belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes that? God knows. But God makes distinctions and do not deny it. He says, you see your calling, brethren, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, but here is one that is noble, and here is one that is noble. And in like manner, not only individuals, but also nationalities, and also others of different localities. You remember in Acts chapter 17, it speaks about the Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why is that? Why is it that in one town you find Christians that are more noble than you do in another town, in one assembly and another assembly? You find it that way. Sinners as well. Because these that God speaks of as being noble in Acts 17 are sinners. It says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the truth with all readiness of mind, searching the scriptures daily whether these things were so, many of them therefore believed. Did you know that among sinners, some are more honorable than others? Some, as Luke tells us in chapter 8, had good and honest hearts, and in those hearts that are sinful and desperately wicked, God says, among those whose hearts are all that way, there are some that have good and honest hearts. And among dishonorable sinners whose throats are an open sepulcher, among them there are some that are more honorable than others, and some that are more despicable than others. Listen to what Paul says. He said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Now this is in the Word of God. So here are some, like the Bereans, they are noble, more noble than those in Thessalonica. And those at Crete, why, even one of their own poets has described them. And so that's the way it is. And so do not say that we are racist when we see certain dispositions among certain races. God has said the same. And you find exemplary conduct and noble virtues in some men, and in the same family among the brethren, they are missing in that other brother. And God says, that is the way it is. You see it, and you recognize it. It is evident when one is prepared to be used of God. when Samuel was turned over to Eli, it said all Israel knew that Samuel was destined to be a prophet in Israel. And as soon as David came and fought Goliath, it said, this man is destined to be exalted in Israel. They could see it. They understood it. So here are those whose past you're not familiar with. But David had been practicing in the past. He had been practicing on lions and bears with his slingshot. He said, now I'm ready to fight giants. And in like manner, here is Jabez, and now he is at a mature age. He understands what is inevitable unless something is done about it. And so he says, I'm going to God in prayer. And do you know how early in the history of man, men began to call upon the name of God? As soon as history began. I told you this morning that Cain and Abel, Cain, the firstborn child of woman, and Abel, they were both worshiping God. And then it says in that same chapter, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, because they see the futility of life. They understand the emptiness of life. And they understand that they are finite creatures and they must have a God upon whom they can call. And it is not in vain to call upon God. And so as early after the fall as Genesis 4, men are calling upon the Lord. And as late as Jabez, men are still calling upon the name of the Lord. And Peter says, Lord, save me. And so until the end of time, men shall be calling upon the name of the Lord. And one day, that last sinner will call upon the name of the Lord. And the church will be completed. And then the Lord will call upon his church to come up hither. But from the beginning until the end, some will call upon the name of the Lord, and God will answer those prayers. But in this case, it is not for salvation. It is a desire for God to change what seems to be inevitable. Do you know what his prayer is in the sentence? He says, O God, I'm praying for life to be a contradiction to my name. He said, what do you mean? He said, my name is Saul. I pray that my name may be a contradiction to the life that unfolds before me. Because some people's names harmonize with what they are. Abigail said that. She had a husband whose name was Nabal, and the name means fool. She said, his name is Nabal, and he is a fool. That's the way it was. And Jabez says, my name is sorrow. Oh God, I do not want to have a life of sorrow. And because of that, he went and he cried unto God. And his mother was the one who gave him that name. Let me tell you about this word, Jabez. And the reason she gave him that name, she said, because I bear him with sorrow. Here is the word Yaabez, and then you have the other word sorrow, a Zeb, and there is a play on the word. They sound alike. And so here are words that are identical or similar to the words you find in Genesis chapter 3. Now, in the various translations, the same words that are mentioned here in the case of Jabez, you find the word sorrow, pain, grief, and labor. Think of those words, sorrow, pain, grief, and labor. God says, in sorrow shall you bring forth children. And that word could be translated in pain, in grief, in sorrow. And then it says concerning Adam, here is the same word, in toil shall you bring forth fruit from the earth. And here is the same word. And so this word, toil, grief, sorrow, sadness, pain. Here is a woman, a descendant of Eve, who is experiencing the very words pronounced by God in Genesis chapter 3. In sorrow shall you bring forth children. And this woman said, I brought forth my son in sorrow. Well, from the first child that was brought forth until the last child, there will always be sorrow. There will be hope at first, because Eve looked at this other child and she said, I've gotten a man. And then she understands the futility of life. And she then names a child Enosh, frailty, breath, wind. And in like manner, here is a woman who has a child, and she would think back from what she had heard of Genesis chapter 3, and say, with Eve, indeed I have brought forth a son in sorrow. And so she gives him that name. Eve gives the name Enosh to one of her children. And now here is the mother of Jabez, and she says, I'm going to call you sorrow. Just as in an entirely different light, Sarah has a child, and she says, I'm going to call my son Yitzchak. That means laughter. And that's the name that she gave him. But at first she was laughing at the impossibility. Shall a woman who's 90 years old give suck to a child? And she laughed. And the angel said, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did laugh. And so finally when the child was born, she said, God has caused me to laugh. Do you see the little change? And so here is the name of Isaac. And throughout his life, you find sadness, but at the same time, there is happiness, laughter as well. Laughter because a child was born to an old woman, and a childless father with an heir, Abraham, had this son, and so here is Isaac. And here is this woman, and she says, his name is Jabez. But he started praying. And the first thing he does is to pray with all earnestness. I wonder just how earnestly you pray. If you believe that your life was going to end the way that Jabez did, it began with sorrow when your mother bore you, and it's going to end in sorrow when you die. And you knew that prayer could change it, how fervently would you cry to God? Or, if you were one who said, well, it may do good, it may not, oh God, I pray that you will bless me and somehow change things. I wonder if God will listen to you. It says in the Hebrew, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. But he says, oh, that blessing, you would bless me. It's the way of fervency. It's the way of earnest entreaty. And this is what Jabez says. He says, I'm determined to get a blessing from you. And only those that pray that way are those that receive that way. Unless God says, well, here is one that's praying. I will toss him out a blessing. But here are some who in their entreaty are earnest and fervent, and they demand of God that they are blessed. And God says, command me, demand of me. God delights those things. He wants to hear us with earnestness and fervor cry upon him. Why? Because they see the earnestness, the seriousness of the situation, and they say something must be done. And it's just as when Rachel, the wife of Jacob, said, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob said, who am I? I'm not God. I can't do this thing. But you see the insistence, I must have children. And then Jacob, when he was wrestling with the angel said, let me go. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And even though it seems impossible, the angel said, all right, you will get that blessing. And so you're liable to think, well, all I've got to do then is to, with fervor, go into the presence of God and pray and I'll get everything. No. You will get an answer, and I would want with all my strength to pray to God to be sure that the answer I received was the answer that God wanted to be. But there are others who prayed as fervently as Jabez who were answered by God negatively, and not positively. Here is Moses. Listen to him when he prays to God. God, let me go into the promised land. More than anything else, I want to go into the promised land. He asked God about that and asked God about that. And finally God said, I want to hear no more about it. You are not going in. Isn't that sad? But did he entreat God? You say, indeed he did. Suppose he had not prayed to God and there had been the possibility that he could get in. All right. I'm thinking of Paul. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. He says, oh God, remove this thorn in the flesh. He says it 1, 2, 3 times. And Christ says, no. You see, the prayer is answered, but negatively. And may I reverently compare one who prayed as others did 3 times. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. 1, 2, 3 times. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, Father. The cup which the Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it? But Here are some like Moses and our Savior who pray to God, and God answers their prayer negatively. But at least, if the thorn remains in the flesh of Paul, he cried to God, and it is not there because he did not ask God to remove it. And yet here are some, and they pray to God, and God says, I'm going to answer your prayer. And so the encouragement is this. Do not be half-hearted when you pray to God, but entreat God as Jabez did. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Say as Jacob did, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And Jacob got the blessing, and so did Jabez. And you may be Jacob or Jabez. You may not be Paul. You may not be another who asked God as Moses, let me go in, and God says no. God may let you go in. It says again and again, and I may preach that to you. It says, who knoweth whether God will? And there are about four or five scriptures that are questionable as to what God will do. And here is something that seems to be questionable. And it says that after all of these prayers, and God answered him. God granted him that which he requested. All right. Here is what he's saying. He says, oh God, he said, I don't want to remain in mediocrity. I want to be blessed indeed. And he said, I want you to enlarge my coast. Here I am in a restricted environment. He said, I want my coast to be enlarged. Here is the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. And our Savior would pray, oh Father, enlarge my coast. And he said, all right, son. He said, go to Jerusalem. And now his name extends to the ends of the earth. And so here is one who prayed to his Father. And rather than be confined to Nazareth, his coast are enlarged. And so in like manner, here is Jabez who prays to God, enlarge my coast. He does not want to remain a non-entity in a place that is unknown. He said, I want my coast enlarged. And I told you that perhaps in chapter 2, verse 55, that the town, the area of Jabez is named after him. Why? Because here he is, one among his brethren, but he's more honorable, and God enlarges his coast. And his name, Jabez, is placed upon this territory. And he says this. He says, I want your hand to be with me. Now, that's most important. You're liable to think, well, all a man does is to pray to God and do nothing. Not at all. The Bible that says that salvation is free and it's a gift says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you. And Jabez knows that unless he prays, things are going to continue as they are. And if he does pray, and God is going to answer his prayer, then he has to enter into the accomplishment of it himself. He said, I want your hand to be with me. He said, I don't want to sit back and let you do it all, and never to study or pray or go forth and have any undertaking. He said, but in the undertaking that I do go forth to accomplish, I want your hand to be with me. I cannot by myself do it. He wanted what Paul speaks about in Philippians 2. It is God who worketh in you. He wanted to be assisted by God. It says, according to the power that worketh in you. And that is what he wanted. And he says this. He is afraid of sin. He says, keep me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow, to my grief, to my hurt. He understands what sin does. And you look around you. Not only those that are destroyed by drugs, but by lesser sin. And you look at them, and you understand that it has brought grief and ruination to them. And Jabez knows that this is what will happen to him as well. And so he thinks through life, and he summarizes all the things that he wants changed that are going to be different from what we have here unless he prays. And he's willing to let God work through him, to cooperate with God, not to sit back and do nothing. But as God said to Moses, quit crying and go forward. And he did go forward. God said, now it's time for you to go forward, and I will assist you. And that is what he wants. And he says, oh God, keep me from evil. He knew the tendency of his own heart. He knew the circumstances of his birth. He knew inwardly the tendency of his own heart. And he said, but God, you can keep me from evil. And if you do, it will not be to my hurt. And listen to how it's summed up. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, your name is Jabez. It can be changed to Isaac. Call upon the God of Israel.
Time is gone. Let us pray.
Our Father, we confess that we are unable to put together the things in thy word that seem to be unchangeable, and yet the other things in thy word that tell us to pray, and instead of drought, there shall be rain. Instead of sorrow, there shall be laughter. We believe this, our God. Thou dost not tell us to comprehend and explain it all, but thou dost tell us to call upon the name of the Lord. Who knoweth the formation of the child in the womb? Thou dost know, Father. And the things that we do not know, thou dost not demand of us to know, but thou dost demand that we trust thee, and that we cry to thee, and then look to thee in hope, in faith, in confidence, that thou shalt answer. Our Father, among the people of God, may we be looked upon as those that are more honorable. Let us not be just those that were has-beens and those that are characterized by mediocrity, but look upon us and let us be more honorable than our brethren for thy glory. And in thy grace, let us, for thy glory, amount to something. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.